Thank you, Katrina, for a beautiful song and a beautiful message. We preachers preach what we preachers need to hear. We'll kill it little by little. We'll kill it. There we go. Thank you. I don't know how many of you are acquainted with George Mueller. I'm talking about the George Mueller history, the one that was a remarkable man, except for his hairdo, probably. But it's fine, huh? It's good. You know, I've been thinking about that, but I'm not courageous enough for it yet. George Mueller lived in the 19th century. He was converted when he was about 20. He was a party guy. When he was converted, he really turned his life over to the Lord and began to trust him. He's known for being a man of great faith and prayer, and he had orphanages up to 5 buildings in Bristol that were considered by the people around there sort of holy ground because the presence of God seemed so obvious. He received, not fundraised, he received between $140 and $160 million for his international ministry without ever asking once for anybody for a penny. It was all on his knees. George Mueller took care of almost 10,000 orphans, and he said at one point, I was converted in November of 1825, but I didn't come to the point of total surrender of my heart until 4 years later, in July of 1829. It was then I realized my love for money, prominence, position, power, and worldly pleasure was gone. God and He alone became my all in all. In Him, I found everything I needed, and I desired nothing else. By God's grace, my understanding of His sufficiency has remained to this day, making me an exceedingly happy man. It has led me to care only about the things of God. A remarkable life that we begin to know thanks to the fact that he stopped taking care of orphans at the age of 70 and began his preaching tour for 23 years. He lived 22, lived to be 92. Notice what he says. In him I found everything I needed, and I desired nothing more, nothing else. In other words, he didn't say, I desired nothing else. My understanding of His sufficiency has remained to this day, making me an exceedingly happy man. Have you met people who are exceedingly happy? In other words, they're so happy, they can't stand being so happy. It's like I couldn't be happier. That happiness in the 19th century, the way he used that word is not the same way we use the word today. What he meant by that is joy and peace, is fulfillment, is contentment. Exceedingly so. Can we experience exceeding happiness? Is that possible? The Lord Jesus, after he cured the blind man and had a little controversy about his miracle, and the Pharisees just didn't want to accept it, and they struggle with that. He said, for their sake, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." David understood that, and he wrote the most famous psalm known by millions. Others in the Bible understood that, and they were knit with God, with the Almighty. They desired nothing else but the presence of this grand shepherd, Jesus Christ, who would love them to the end. What is the abundant life? Well, from a sheep's perspective, what we just read, the abundant life would be excitement at the sound of the shepherd. Have you ever been excited in the morning, waking up early in the morning? You can't wait to go downstairs to your basement or to go to the garage or to go to your special chair because you know he is coming and you're going to hear from him today. Assurance that the shepherd knows and loves him. Do you have the assurance that he really loves you, that he loves you with an everlasting love, that nothing could keep him from loving you, and that nothing is as important for you to know that he loves you? That's what the sheep sensed with this shepherd. Following the shepherd, that's what abundant life is about. Following the shepherd, being with him, not following imposters. And let me assure you, the devil has made sure that he has plenty of options to give to each of us nowadays, beginning with our phones, in our computers, in our iPads. Salvation, the gratefulness of being saved, of being protected, that's what the sheep knew. The sheep knew that if the shepherd was around, they're going to be okay. They were going to be okay. It didn't matter if they heard rumblings of wolves out there. The shepherd was there. They kept an eye. You know, sheep don't have very good eyesight. So if they came close to the shepherd, they knew that he was there. Therefore, everything was fine. And daily provisions. We go out and in, and he provides for everything. I face nothing that God has not anticipated. You know the basic difference between the sheep and the goats. The goats tend to be a little more independent because they are more skilled. They're more able. They're more athletic, if you will. The sheep, well, look at the sheep, you know, not very athletic. The sheep don't have very good eyesight. The goats, they, you know, it's hard to herd goats because they don't listen very carefully. They just do their thing, you know. They're just happily doing their thing. But the sheep, they're more responsive. And God called us sheep. He said, you have the opportunity, you have the ability to respond to me. You can actually hear my voice, and you actually have the ability you have something in your heart that says, I want to be where the shepherd is. We are like sheep. I like that picture. Even if we are the black sheep of the family, we are still called sheep by Jesus Christ. We are his, and he is mine. So, based on what we read, what does the shepherd do? The shepherd calls his sheep by name. You can read it. The shepherd calls. That's what he does. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. The shepherd leads them out of their sheepfold. The sheep follow the shepherd's voice. The shepherd goes before the sheep for the sake of guidance and protection, while the sheep do not follow a stranger's voice. Do you see the common denominator here? Do you see what's happening? What the shepherd does is, I know your name. And what the sheep says is, I know your voice. Everything the sheep do hinges on the voice of the shepherd. Everything the sheep do hinges on the voice of the shepherd. And everything the shepherd does hinges on his love for the sheep. What a remarkable relationship. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. When cell phones were pretty rudimentary, sometimes you drop calls, right? Don't drop calls anymore, maybe. And sometimes, you know, I was busy or talking with somebody or I was traveling and my wife would call me. I only needed one syllable, not one word, one syllable from her voice to know who it was. I've been listening to that voice for a long, long time. I know that voice. I know that voice. The key to the abundant life is a decision to trust the voice of the Good Shepherd. That's not the abundant life. The abundant life is to be with him. The abundant life is to follow him. The key to the abundant life is to trust the voice of the Good Shepherd. That's the key. That's what starts this whole thing. But what about when he says, what he says doesn't make a lot of sense? Have you ever heard God say things that, what? A few examples. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, pause for a moment. Think about that. Think about what the words say. It doesn't say, it says in the past tense, God has made me free. All right? And so is this only related to what happened 2,000 years ago? Or is this something that sheep need to take at face value? Because many days I don't feel free, do you? The sin, that nature, that sinful nature doesn't make me feel free, but the word says I am free. Because he's made me free. So will I listen to that voice or will I listen to my heart? Or how about Romans 6:11? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Reckon yourself to... Do you feel dead to sin? Oh, many days I don't feel dead to sin. I feel very much alive to sin, and that's not something that I'm proud of. That's something that I'm ashamed of. But the word says, reckon yourself. Count it, believe it, stay with it, focus on it. You are dead to sin and alive in Christ. And that's what his voice is saying. Or how about James? Count it all joy when you fall in various trials. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Count it all joy. I mean, I would understand if it said tolerated when, you know, that would be an improvement. At least I'm not, complaining. But he says, count it all joy. Well, now, I'm going to really have to exercise some faith and step in the void. Because if I need to count it all joy, that's radically different than how I feel. In 1 Peter, servants, he said to servants in the first century, Be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also the harsh. Ooh. Have you ever had a boss who is not very nice? Have you ever had a friend who has been kind of cruel to you? Have you ever had a professor that doesn't listen to your needs? Be submissive to your masters. Also, to those who are harsh. This Christianity business is no picnic, is it? And this is what his voice says. And those who listen to that voice have abundant life. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in everything. Do you give everything? You know, I got a C. I thought I was going to get an A. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody bumped into my car in the parking lot. Thank you, Jesus. The word doesn't say occasionally get or remember God on the or remember when he blesses. He says in everything give thanks. That's radical stuff. The key to the abundant life is a decision to trust the voice of the good shepherd. And that's why in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. What makes me decide to open the door? Many people think it's the knock. That's not what makes me open the door. The Bible says it's his voice. When I hear his voice, that's when I open the door. You see, there's a universe of difference between Christianity and everything else. The big four, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and naturalism. The cross has come right through and changes everything. Everyone else, the natural tendency is to do something based on sensory experience. If I can feel God, why would I need to know him? And it happens to many Christians. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's what the Bible teaches. And when I am not seeing things being brought to pass, I need to repeat this 14 times to myself and say, that's what you say. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Ellen White puts it this way, let us talk faith and act faith and we will have faith. Or she says, whatever your disposition may be, however you feel, you see, we're a very kinesthetic society, more so than ever before. We go by feelings. The first question from a journalist, listen carefully, to anybody is, how do you feel about this? What they mean is, what do you think about it? But we don't think anymore, we feel. Whatever your disposition may be, God is able to so mold it that it will be sweet and Christ-like. However you feel, she says, God can change that and can make you into a Christ-like and sweet person. Isn't that a remarkable thing? By the exercise of living faith, you can separate from everything that is not in accordance to the mind of God and thus bring heaven into your life here below. Doing this, you will have sunshine at every step. When the enemy seeks to enshroud the soul with darkness, sing faith and talk faith. And you will find that you have sung and talked yourself into the light. I knew. You know, I show this picture elsewhere, and they don't know what I'm talking about. But I knew you would understand. That's a Michigan slave right there. And my circumstances were gray and cold and miserable when my wife took that picture of me. But 2 hours later, I was above the clouds. And it's always sunny above the clouds. And so it's a matter of perspective. Do you want to live your life from down here, from this perspective? Or you want to live your life from up there, from that perspective? You see, a 17-year-old boy learned that, called David. And he says, I don't know what the problem is. A 9-foot-tall giant, you know, skilled in warfare, scaring thousands of people. Well, I don't know what the problem is. Because I am not going to look at the giant from where I am. I'm going to look at the giant from where he is. And that is what makes the difference. The key to the abundant life is a decision to trust the voice of the Good Shepherd. And it needs to be a decision because many days it will not come all by itself. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, in the beginning, life was abundant. With the presence of Jesus, that's all there was. They had everything they needed. But then they decided to trust their senses. Oh, what I see, what I hear, and that's the nemesis of the Christian life. Many times we trust what we hear and see instead of what is here, what His voice says. And so God had to intervene immediately, and He says, "I'm going to put enmity between you." And the woman, and I'm going to restore the chance to make a choice. You see, you lost it when our forefathers surrendered so easily. Their ability to decide, they lost all of that decision. And Ellen White talks about that. And so our need is to get it back. Trusting Satan led into slavery, our sinful nature is evidence that Satan controls our will. How many times have you done things you know you don't want to do and you still do them? Or vice versa. Satan takes control of every mind that is not, listen to the next word, decidedly under the control of the Spirit of God. Who is she writing to? Testimonies to who? Who are they? Right here. Trust in Jesus is the only way out. Our only hope is to retake that will and give it to God. Because even in your hands, you can't handle it. It's just too hot of a thing. And so you call, you run. Have you ever experienced this? I know that you have. You are faced with temptation. This is what Jesus says. Give me your heart, your will. The Old Testament, the heart is the will. Give me your will, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways, for a harlot is a deep pit. In other words, your senses are telling you, but I'm telling you, give me yourself. And you know what happens? When you actually choose to do that, in 1.5 seconds, more or less, that harlot disappears. That is, whatever the temptation is, it doesn't have a grip on you anymore. And that is the great news of Christianity. Faced with temptation? We're faced with temptation, right? Yes, animals can't help themselves, but we can. We are in the image of God. No time to talk about this one. We are in the image of God, and we need to choose. The abundant life is to walk with Him, to live with Him, to walk, to work with Him, to be with Him. But the key to the abundant life is a decision to trust the voice of the shepherd. How many of you today want to say, I want to trust that voice? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that Jesus loves us, and this we know. Thank you that the Bible tells us so. And thank you that we can trust you. As we get to know you, as we discern your voice, as we read the scriptures, we can take it at face value. We can believe in the word reality over our sensory reality, and thus begin to know what it's like to have the abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray.